Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. 800-531-3815. Toll free, coast to coast. 800-531-3815. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for hanging around. Hubbard is our guest. He's the president and the founder of Hubbard & Associates. He's the author of a number of books, including The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy, which I still say needs to be not on your bookshelf, but on your desk if you have employees. And also the brand new book called A Medical Privacy Rule, which is all about what you and I need to know as small business owners about privacy, the medical privacy of our employees, and how and where all the landmines are. And if you have any employees, you need to know about this one too. Bill Hubbard, welcome back.
Good morning, glad to be here.
It's good to have you back, Bill. We've got some HR stuff to talk about, but before we do, you're one of four fathers who are joining me on the show today. As you know, I'm a father, a very happy, proud father of a daughter and a son. My daughter just delivered my second grandchild, the biggest problem that we have around here is me walking around with this big grin on my face.
Well, congratulations, Gramps.
Well, thanks, I appreciate it. And you know, there's nothing that makes you feel nothing about having a grandchild that makes you feel young, as you know, you're a grandfather too.
Yes.
But there's something that sort of salves all that over when you get to hold them.
That's for sure.
But of course, as you know, what's really cool is when they get to be like my older grandson's three now.
Okay.
And so you know how much fun he is.
Oh yeah.
So, typically the ladies have the most fun with the little bitty ones, and I think the guys have the fun when the boys get to run around a little bit.
Well, I enjoy the newborns as well. There's something very special about them. They're just so precious and I enjoy that time with them, as well as certainly the older activities that we get into with the kids too.
What I like about the newborns is watching them grow, and you know, every day they open their eyes a little bit more, and then the first time you realize that they're actually seeing you.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And maybe even recognize you. I remember when it's been so long ago since my children were this small. It's hard to remember some of this, but I remember when my grandson, first time that he looked at me, and I actually thought, you know, I think he recognizes me. Maybe it was the voice, but it's almost like you could see it on his face, and that's a lot of fun, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Well,
to me, one of the most precious things was the participation in the delivery of my sons.
Yeah.
And this was a few years back when it was really a newer event, and it's happening much more now.
I did the same thing.
I would certainly encourage any impending father to be a part of that process, because it's just an amazing miracle.
It's an amazing bonding experience on a number of levels, isn't it?
It is.
Well, I agree with you. My daughter, they wouldn't allow us to do it with my daughter, because that was about almost 30 years ago, but 3 years later when my son came along. We had done a lot of we did a lot more lobbying, and we got that done. I was able to go in, would be there when he was born. But you know, now they have these labor and delivery rooms. It's all one room.
Mm, okay.
And so you know, it's pretty cool. Anyway, well, I just wanted you and me to talk a little bit about Father's Day just for a minute, and you know, I when I think about my dad, I have a lot of great memories and. You know, my dad, he's still alive. He's 80 years old. He's not in good health, but he's still alive. But you know, the thing that there are a lot of good things I remember. I remember fishing and hunting with him, but he and I did a lot of work together. We worked together a lot when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. And besides the fact that he taught me, you know, about honesty and I think how to be a man, he taught me how to work, and that was a really important thing for a father to teach a son, isn't it?
It is, and I was kind of thinking back in terms of my relationship with my father, and I think a key part of, I guess I would say, the success that I've had later life relates to some of the things that I learned from him in terms of the value of work and the drive and the effort and the initiative to just get out and do something and to try to learn something new and to stick with it until you achieve a success. And even if you have a failure along the way, you just keep right on going. You mm-hmm. get yourself up and you keep on going.
My dad wasn't a philosopher. He isn't. I mean, and he's still alive, as I say. But back when I was growing up, I don't remember a lot of philosophy from him. You know what I mean? I don't remember a lot of what's the meaning of life type of conversations. What I think I picked up from him maybe was more from osmosis than anything else.
I think from our generation, looking back at the dads, there was sort of the strong silent type was kind of.
Yep.
The image that I get.
Not a lot. You didn't get a tremendous amount of demonstrative affection, that kind of thing. I mean, there was some of it, but not a lot.
There weren't a lot of those mushy words, but there was that presence, and there was that drive to take care of the family and to resolve issues and to handle problems. And that example that is set, which I think there's a lot more of that. There's things that I do and there's things that I say, and all of a sudden it dawns on me, man, I sound like my dad.
Uh-huh.
And I think
that's exactly right.
As we all get older.
Oh, yeah.
We
make their noises, too, don't we?
Yeah.
Like when we get up out of a chair.
There you go.
Well, I just want to, Bill, I just thank you for allowing me to talk a little bit about dads. We need dads to be in the lives of their children. More and more, don't we, in society. We need dads to be actively involved in the lives of their children, not just on weekends. We need them there all the time. The thing that I found about kids, Bill, was that when my kids got to be teenagers, they didn't need me all the time. But when they needed me for 90 seconds, and I never knew when that was going to be.
That's a very good point. They really need you when they're young, because pretty soon they get older, and pretty soon they want to go their own way. And I remember that feeling as well with my son.
Yeah.
That, gee, all of a sudden there's things he'd rather be with his friends than with his parents. So while they're young, that time slips by very quickly, and as a father speaking to others, take advantage of that time and spend that good quality time with your kids.
Well, if you think about it, you'll be with them more as an adult than you will with them as children.
That's true.
And so if you don't build that relationship when they're children, it's going to be hard to get it back or to attain that once they're grown.
Good point.
So, Bill, your words are very wise, and I appreciate you sharing them with us. We've got more to come right after these messages. We're going to get into some human resources issues right after this break. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Come down off your throne and leave your body alone.
We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Bill Hubbard, William S. Hubbard. Ladies and gentlemen, is the name on the books. And that's Hubbard with two B's and two T's. And if you type Hubbard.com into your little browser there, you'll find an outstanding human resources website. And, Bill, you want to give us the companion website for the Medical Privacy Rule Book?
MedicalPrivacy.info. is where we have the privacy information. Both of those sites link back and forth to each other, and the one gives a good rundown of what organizations need to be doing to comply with the medical privacy rule, and it relates to the law HIPAA, the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. Its effect is like a hippo. It stretches everywhere under the water.
Landing on you. Folks, listen, if you don't know about this actually went into effect April 14th.
Yes.
If you don't know about this, where have you been for the last 8 months that Bill and I have been talking about this? But the thing is, if you don't know about this, there's a minefield waiting on you. You need to know about how to wade through that minefield. And one of the places to find out, the first stop in your education about this, and listen, it could be that you don't have a lot of exposure, but who knows? You need to at least start your education process on this thing. And a great place to go is Say it again, Bill.
MedicalPrivacy.info.
MedicalPrivacy.info. and check it out, and check out Bill's book. And if you noodle around there, you might say, you know what, I think I need to know more. And when you do, then check out Bill's book. Bill, let's talk about driving records.
Okay.
This is an issue that's come up for you this month, and it has been an issue for me in the past when I've owned businesses that required my employees to drive my vehicles.
Yeah, about a year ago, a client calls me and says, you know, I got this letter from my insurance company, and it tells me that I cannot, you know, they're not going to insure Joe Blow, my supervisor. And my supervisor's got to go out and check on the employees on the job sites. What do I do?
Uh-huh.
And so we got together and we talked about it a little bit and tried to look at the various alternatives. But the bottom line issue was that for this particular position, it required driving from job site to job site. That was an essential function of that job.
Mm-hmm.
And this employee now, in a sense, was not qualified to perform that job because the employer's insurance company says he's got a bad driving record, he's a bad risk, and therefore, in order to control your costs of your insurance and your liability, we feel that this person's a bad risk, we're not going to cover him.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line direction for this particular employment decision then was to lay the employee off because he could not perform the essential function for which he was hired.
Can we legally check somebody's driving record?
Yes.
We can?
Driving records are public records.
Okay.
So these are records maintained.
Has it always been that way?
I don't know if I can answer that.
Wasn't there a time? But I mean, but it seems like there was a time when you couldn't get that information.
Well, it may have been more difficult, or they may not have been set up to provide that as much, but now there's...
Well, it wasn't as much of a problem back then either.
That very well...
But now, Bill, as you and I have spoken about, I mean, if you have 20 people to walk in your door for a job that would involve driving a truck, and this could just, in my case, in the case that I had, driving the truck wasn't the essential part. That was just to get to the job. They had to do work when they got to the job.
Right.
But still, they had to drive a truck, and it was loaded down with equipment and products and tools. And so, I mean, it got to the point where if you interviewed 20 people, maybe two would have a valid driver's license that was insurable.
And there's more and more of that. We were talking about the DUI, driving while intoxicated situation, and the laws in the states are clamping down much more on that. And in Illinois, for example, where I'm located, one of the things that they've impacted on is an underage drinker convicted of a DUI is now an automatic loss of the license.
Is that right? Wow.
So it's becoming a much heavier issue, and so there are
and of course the blood alcohol content has gone down in most states 0.08.
Yeah, that's correct. So both of these issues impact on young people's driving records, and even older folks that may have had this sometime back. And now it's not just the conviction that's coming up, but rather the insurance companies are doing their own random checking, and then they're notifying the employers that says, this person's a bad risk. We don't want to cover him.
How do we make sure we don't get too much time invested in this person before we find out that they can't do the job?
Well, step number one would be to let them know in the recruiting process that driving record is important.
And we'll be checking it.
And we'll be checking it. Step number two, make sure that you do check it and evaluate that and check with your local Secretary of State or the agency that issues the driver's licenses.
Right.
Find out the procedure to get that information. It may cost a few bucks. It may not, but it's worth that investment to find out before you extend that job offer.
But we're going to have the driver's license number and maybe a Social Security number?
Very likely, both of those numbers.
We can't check other stuff, but we can check their driving record.
Yes.
You got to be careful, though, right? There are certain things you can't have.
Well,
you're not supposed to know.
You should not be, in most areas, you should not be checking arrest records.
Yeah.
But the driving record will give an indication of traffic citations, and I think accidents as well, depending upon how the states report that information. So that can give you an indication of the current status of the license and the history of what that person has, and that should be part of your decision-making when you're hiring candidates.
You've
got
to make it part of that, folks, because one thing, for sure, you don't want them to have a wreck and then find out that you now should have known that they were a bad driver, and so you become a co-defendant. Bill Hubbard, thank you for being here. Good job today.
Glad to be here.
Hey, Bill, one more thing.
Yes.
Happy Father's Day.
Thank you, Jim.
See you later, my friend.
Sir.
Bill Hubbard, ladies and gentlemen. Quick break. Right back with Rich Galen, another dad.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.